Welcome to Center, friends, and just please turn into your hymns to number 67.
Glory.
thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together to worship you, and just help us to center our hearts and minds to focus on you and the message, and through song and word. In your heavenly name, amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is ours. What a wonderful day. It's great to be in church. It's great to be in church with a group of people who lift up the Lord's name, lift up each other, and we can learn and listen to the spirit of what God is leading us to do, not only in this hour, but in every hour from this point on. So good morning.
Good morning.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I see everyone listened to almost everybody heard my one call now message. Those who have not have been sufficiently dealt with. So it's good to see a nice green crowd this morning, and it's good to see the sun shining. So if you would take your bulletin, let's look at some announcements. Got a few things I want to hit on. A group is leaving today after worship to go to the Mendenhall House in Jamestown. I assume there's still room if someone wants to jump in.
So even if you hadn't planned on going, you should still have time to maybe change real quick and get a quick bite to eat and still do the tour. And Whitney is going to drive the van for us. And so the more the merrier.
All right, so there's still room there. You can meet in Jamestown, the Mendenhall home place. The next thing is monthly meeting is tonight. So I encourage you to attend if you're interested in the business of the church. That will be at 7 o'clock this evening. Also, this Saturday, we're having a movie night. The Lion of Judah is on the playlist at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Is that correct? So please come out if you want an easy date night. Guys, if you want to get some brownie points, bring your girls to the movie and enjoy it at church, where everyone should be, on a date with Jesus in between them.
As a P.S. to movie night, if it's really, 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 really warm for several days and that day, we might try outside. But it's got to be really, really, really warm, I've been told. So, we'll wait.
I do want to call your attention to the facing page on the back side there. The youth are having a worship service at the end of the month. I am very excited to see what God has led the youth to do. And I can tell you they have been working very diligently to figure out what they want to speak on, what they're going to sing. There'll be some other musical presentations that we're excited to hear, and it's just wonderful to not have to listen to me every Sunday. You can listen to what God is leading our young people. Any other announcements?
Tommy, at the Rise Up meeting today, trustees and the finance committee members could meet down here for a very important meeting. A short meeting, but we need to execute some documents.
Trustees and finance committee down front. Any others? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this fellowship of believers. We thank you for the openness of our hearts. We thank you for your control and your leading in our lives, Lord. And we lift up these blessings that are given in your honor. Touch each one so that we can discern how you want that resource delivered. Give us ministry ideas. Give us encouragement of what you want us to do as a church so that we can reach others outside these doors and we can continue to spread the message of the gospel. Bless the giver, bless the receiver, and continue blessing us. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
special day. Do y'all know why everybody's wearing some green today? It's a special day. It's St. Patrick's Day. That's right. And it's also a special day. It's what? It's a leprechaun day, yes. And it's also a special day because it's Aiden's birthday. Aiden's birthday is on St. Patrick's Day, so that's why they're all... He had his birthday party yesterday, so that's why we have so much green and hot up here. So what are some things that you see when it gets to be St. Patrick's Day? What kinds of things do you see? What do you see in the stores? There's like shamrocks and green... Yep, the Hulk's green. That works out perfect, doesn't it? Like my earrings, and you see necklaces. But what else do you see a lot of? What is that? A gold coin. Yeah, it is a gold coin. Well, that's what made me think of something that I brought today that we hide at the house a lot and use clues to find. So what is this?
Treasure box.
It is a treasure box. That's right. It's a treasure chest. Yeah, let's see. Now, what do you think's in this treasure chest?
Gold.
It is. What do you think? All these gold and all this stuff. So let's open up and see. Yep, it's not locked. Oh, look. We've got coins and necklaces and all that stuff. Now, this is the kind of... Yeah, and clues. We do have clues in there. These are the kind of things that the pirates used to steal from other ships, and they would get it, and they would hide it, and they would keep it to themselves, not share it, didn't want anybody else to have it. And so that was the most important thing in their lives. Now, I put some other things in here. Some of these things might be important to you, too. Let's see. Can you see what this is a picture of? Toys. All right, do you have a special toy that's really important to you?
I have a gator.
You do have a gator.
That's right.
You do have one. How about, do y'all know what that is? A cell phone.
That's right.
Y'all might be young for that, but do you use mom and dad sometimes to watch movies and play games?
I watch Skylark. And watch Donald Duck.
And you watch Donald Duck. What's that?
My daddy's a raptor.
That's okay. Okay, I don't know that one. We've got video games. Some of that might be important to you. And then, oh my goodness, how many of y'all love clothes? You love clothes. You might have a favorite shirt or pants, shoes or a hat. Those favorite things. How about when you get a little bit older, and maybe not too old yet, how about sports and trophies and stuff like that that you play? Those are important too, right? They can be awful important to you. Now, when you get a little bit older, instead of toy cars, real car might be one of your things that you think is so important, or your house where you live at, see, or maybe your job. All these things can be really, really, really important. And so what these are, we're going to call these in your pirate treasure chest here, is your earthly treasures. These are earthly treasures. These are things that you only have or do when you're here on earth. So, why do you think I put all those clues in this treasure chest other than the gold and the necklaces? Because sometimes they are as important. It's not just money and it's not just jewelry. Sometimes those things are important, really important to you too. Well, did you know in the Bible Jesus teaches us about treasures? In Matthew 6:19-21, he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is telling us that what we treasure the most controls our lives, and we should store up heavenly treasures and don't worry about the earthly treasures. Well, we've already talked about the earthly treasures, and all the things that we do that please God are heavenly treasures. Now, I've got a few clues in here, but what I need is a volunteer. Yep, I knew that was coming. A volunteer to pull out one of my clues and give it back to me, and we can sort of figure out what some of these are. All right, do I have a volunteer? Okay. Okay, pull it out. There you go. And what is it? Let's see. What is this one? It's a...
An X.
X marks the spot. Okay, well, no, that's all right. Hang on. It's a cross, okay. And the cross reminds us that Jesus is our Savior, that he died for our sins. That's right. So when we ask Jesus into our hearts, that is the greatest heavenly treasure that we can have. Did you know, I didn't say this before, did you know that our Bibles are God's treasure chest to us? It lets us know how all kinds of ways that we can do and have heavenly treasures. Now, we have another. There's another clue. Does anybody want this one? All right, well, come here. Pull it out and hand it back to me. Yeah, what is it? A heart. Yeah. The Bible teaches us about things. What do you think of when you see a heart?
Love.
Yes, you do have a heart. Yep, you have one. About love, things that you can do. These are all things. What kind of loving things can you do? What are things that you can do that are loving for each other? Like hugs, making cards or phone calls, or being kind to one another, helping others. How about sharing? Are y'all good at sharing? Gabe, set up. Are y'all good at sharing? I see some nods and I see some no's. Okay, you can share your money, your clothes, your games, your toys. How about being patient? Do y'all like waiting for stuff? No, I know. Now all of y'all are going, no. Well, these are all things that please God, and so they're heavenly treasures. What's up, gang? Okay, got one more. Does anybody else want to pull this last one? Oh, wait a minute. Let's let Landon. He hadn't had a turn. Whoop. There you go. Thank you, Landon. What are these? Praying hands. That's right. God wants us to talk to him and to pray to him. And yeah, use those hands together to ask him for leading and guiding in our lives. And we need to thank him for all our blessings. And we need to pray for others. These are all things that are heavenly, that are heavenly treasures that we do that please God. Now, things back in here. Now, God, Jesus isn't saying that, he's not saying that these treasures are bad. He's not saying that these earthly treasures are bad. He's saying that when these treasures are more important than your Bible treasures, God and your Bible treasures, when these treasures are more important, they take more time and they don't have Bible treasures and answers. That's right. And so what he wants us to remember is that when these become too important, then we lose focus on God, we get farther away from God, and then we need to think about it, we need to make some changes, and we may need to let go of some of these treasures so that God is always in control of our lives, because whatever we treasure the most controls our lives. So let's pray. Okay, sit up. Okay. Dear God, thank you for all our blessings. Help us to remember, even when we get busy, that you are the most important thing in our lives. Help us to store up heavenly treasures by doing things that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
time, we'll enter into a time of prayer and praise. I wanted to say a praise that our organ mouse is back. She came in, David and I were talking, I heard the door open, I heard little bitty footsteps, and I said, "Who's that behind the organ?" Someone said, "That's an organ mouse." So we're so glad Ginger is back. And the spirit is in music. And there is absolutely no doubt that is a ministry in itself. And we are so thankful for you.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
We're so thankful for you. We want to continue to remember Caroline Heiss. She will have to have surgery. She's been battling some sinus issues. It's pretty severe. So she's going to have surgery, I believe, the 1st of April. So continue to pray for her and pray for Sharon that she has a peace of heart, that she can really wrap her mind and her heart around that and be strong for Caroline, because Caroline's been out of school for over a month now, and with terrible headaches. So just lift up Caroline as she's battling that sinus issue. We also want to remember O.D. Chambers. That is Rick Earls' neighbor. O.D. Chambers had a quadruple bypass and is in the hospital recovering from that. So that's Rick Earls' neighbor. He asked for prayer for him. We're glad to see Mary Butt with us this morning. We're so glad you're here and the light you bring with you. Any other praises? Anything God done well for you this week? Anything God's been blessing you with this week, or any prayers we need to lift up? Mark?
Sis talked about moving back into a group home, and I want to pray it won't happen.
Pray for your sister.
And pray for him. There's a chance that he'll be moving in a group home.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't want to.
And my brother Gobble, his son's doing a little bit better with his back, but he's bad, so.
Because we prayed for him a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, the bus driver's son.
Yeah.
Any others? I do ask that you pray for the FCNC as we continue with the Focus Conference this week. They're actually having a part in the Yadkin Quarter today, and then they'll have a pastor's class and a gathering tomorrow night here at Center. You're invited to come at 7 p.m., and it's mostly developing a game plan for the expansion of the kingdom of God is what we're looking at. And so you can rest assured that Center has taken some things away from that, and that we will be discerning what the Holy Spirit wants us to do for outreach and reaching those in our area that are unchurched. Any others?
Tommy, Wanda here has a prayer she needs to share.
Yes, I have a new great-granddaughter who's born about 3 weeks ago. She's had some complications, but she's doing well.
Excellent. Great-granddaughter. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come to you with just a worshipful heart. You are the creator of all things and all people. You have a plan for each one of us. And you place such wonderful grace on our lives. And as things happen in our lives, we come to you, and we know we can. You've heard the needs here this morning, and you know what's in our hearts that may have not been mentioned. The medical or emotional needs, the physical needs in this world are just the spiritually lost, the spiritually tired, or the spiritually given up. You know the needs, but you also know the answers, and you possess the answers. You possess that grace and that peace that you can place upon us so that we can understand. While it may not be what we want, we know there is a better plan in store for us, and we thank you for that eternal grace and that eternal love. Lord, you've heard the praises of new life, of returned loved ones, of healing, and of a wonderful music ministry. And we know that we are blessed by that, and we thank you for that. Lord, if there's one here that does not know the blessings of your life, of your son's life and his death on the cross, today be the day. These words be the words. Your spirit be the spirit that affects life change on them. Equip us with the tools and the resources so that we can continue to spread the gospel. We can continue to be a blessing through your grace in others' lives. And we can continue to pray for those in need. We trust you with everything in our being. Lead us, guide us, and help us. And continue to love us as we are a fallen state. Let us see the eternal love that we can grasp through the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Ginger's back. I'd say she's feeling much better. I think she would tell me that's Glenwood style. Amen. I'll fly away. Golly, it just gives me chills. How many people read the article I wrote about luck in the newsletter? For March. Well, that just hurts my feelings. I'm not writing another article. Shame on all y'all. We're going to talk about guilt this morning. So if you didn't, which I planned on some hands not coming up, I talked about St. Patrick's Day and that it falls during the month of March. And I kind of gave a little bit of history about who Patrick was and where it comes from and why it exists. So I'm just going to go over a little bit of the information in case you didn't read the article. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland and was born in the 4th century. That's a 400 number. At the age of 16, he was kidnapped and taken into slavery and taken into Ireland as a slave. He was not Irish. He was actually British and was able to escape. He returned to Ireland sometime around the year 432 for the purpose of converting the Irish to Christianity. His slave masters, he went back to where he was held in slavery for the purpose of converting to Christianity. He said he received a voice. For Quakers, that sound familiar? A call to return to the Irish to share the message of Jesus Christ. He traveled all over Ireland, evangelizing and baptizing, spreading the message. And legend has it that he drove all the snakes from Ireland. But more than likely, that was not actually what he did. He did not physically drive snakes from Ireland. He drove pagans from Ireland. And so they said they drove snakes by spreading Christianity to push the pagans out and push paganism away. He's also known for his teaching of Christianity through the shamrock or the three-leaf clover. He, like myself, used visuals to teach, to share the messages. And he would talk about the shamrock to show the representation of the Trinity. And he would talk about that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit make up the leaves, and they all come together from the same stalk. Interesting little story. And that brings me to the shamrock. Now, how many people have ever found a four-leaf clover? Fairly rare, but you got to take the time to actually look through all of them. And clover just covers my yard. If it wasn't for clover, I probably wouldn't have any grass. Four-leaf clovers are hard to find and all that green, but you may stumble across one, and it's said that that's supposed to bring you good luck. There are other objects that people say, or that tradition says bring us luck. There's rabbit's foots. I don't know how lucky it is for the rabbit. The lucky horseshoe. Finding a penny heads up. Putting a penny in your loafer, heads up. Ladybugs. And then there's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, I have found, and I wrote an article, I have actually found the end of a rainbow. It was in the middle of a field. There was no pot of gold. There was no leprechaun. But there was God's earth. Who doesn't want luck? People play the lottery. They hinge on that idea of luck or chance. Maybe this will be it. Or maybe if I just pick 7 numbers, they'll randomly just come up. You know, maybe I'm lucky. Maybe superstition. I remember a couple times with my grandmother going to the bingo hall, the Smoky American Legion. And there'd be old people lined up for days. And they'd have 57 cards. And I never could get past doing 1 or 2, but they could scroll through 57 sheets of numbers so fast. And then they'd have their trolls, their little trinkets set up in front of them. Those who are laughing know what I'm talking about. And they'd have that liquid stamp, and they could go, hoping for that 4-corner, the early bird, the coverall. And that's just what they did. But they had their trinkets set up. And maybe if they put the troll in front of this card would be the winner because it's the early bird special, and it's got more money. The pot's bigger on that one. Maybe as we drive down the road and someone stops in front of us, we slam on brakes to avoid hitting them or the squirrel. We say, whew, we were lucky that time, and so were you, squirrel. Let me put my phone down and pay attention to what I'm doing. I need to focus. Cool, I was lucky I didn't hit that car. I should have looked at that text message. Now, in the performing arts world, those who are in drama say, break a leg. That is good luck. Dancers say the word marred, and that means good luck on your performance. But it's bad luck to say good luck in the performing world. It's actually bad luck. So what is luck? Luck is defined as a force that brings good fortune or the opposite, adversity. Second definition I found said it events or circumstances that operate for or against an individual. And the actual verb of that definition is it to come upon something desirable by chance. And that's an interesting definition. Come upon something desirable by chance. Now, Jesus Christ never taught his disciples about luck or about chance. Nowhere in his sermons and his parables are you going to see where he says that luck had anything to do with anything ever. He didn't tell his disciples that if they're fishing and they're bringing in nets full of fish, boy, you sure were lucky. Luck has got some negative consequences in our world. Luck has been used to exploit others. How many times have we seen folks give money to the publisher's clearinghouse or to casinos? All because of chance and luck. They use luck in the game of chance to take every bit of money from people and leave them with the idea that if they were just lucky enough, they would win. Flashing lights and all the ding, 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 and you hear someone else get lucky enough to win. So therefore, if I keep dropping slots, I can win. People spend their hard-earned money on the glimmer of false hope that they'll become rich. Remember, money is not the root of all evil. Love of money is. Money tied to luck can be a combination for disaster. The second issue I have with luck is that it's placed alongside the will of God. If we place our faith in a streak of good luck, we're saying God had nothing to do with it. We deny his will in our lives. We actually take him out of control by saying, we sure were lucky. Anything else that takes our faith from him and his guidance in our lives, that's not what we need to do. You're actually placing him second. We tend to let luck in a lot quicker than we do the Lord. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, are you a follower because of luck? I sure was lucky. I found Jesus on the ground, heads up. I sure am lucky God protected me in this. That doesn't even sound right. Well, I sure am lucky God was paying attention. I sure am lucky God did this. Luck doesn't play into it. Take your Bibles and turn to the letter of Ephesians. Paul's letter to the church of church of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 8. Actually, verse 4, I'm sorry. Verse 4 through 10. Paul writes, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now I put a sign up on the church sign out front that says, "Don't confuse luck for grace." It may cause you to pause a moment because when I wrote it, I kind of looked at it and said, well, that doesn't sound right. But don't confuse luck for grace. And then I called Whitney and I said, does this sound right? And she said, no, wait a minute, say it again. It may cause you to think a little bit. But grace explains it all. It is by grace you have been saved. What is it? I heard someone say one time, I have a hard time with grace. Grace just doesn't click. While doing some research, I found this wonderful definition. Something I could not have come up with on my own. But it says, God's grace is God's love in action towards men or women who merited the opposite of love. I'm going to repeat that again. God's grace is God's love in action towards people who merited the opposite of love. Grace means God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not or would not lift a finger to save themselves. Paul Inns, a theologian, explained, grace can be defined as the unmerited or undeserving favor of God to those who are under condemnation. Unmerited and undeserving favor of God. Well, I'm going to tell you today, this is not a question you have to ask. It's not a question you have to wonder. You have the gift of God's grace. Every single person in this room, in this zip code, in this world, has the gift offered to them of God's grace. You have God's favor, His kindness, His love. He showed grace to humanity through His Son. That was grace in a physical form that we could have laid our eyes on. The action of grace was Christ actually entering into death on the cross at the hands of those who didn't even deserve the grace. For the sake of forgiveness of those people and of their sins. Grace is not luck. We do not receive grace because of luck. We are here and we are loved because we accept that grace. That gift is there, ready for the taking. If we really look at ourselves as sinners and take a tally of our sins, some might say, "Ooh, that's some bad luck charms." That's what they'd say about me, my sins. You know those people who can never do anything right? They couldn't get it right if their life depended on it. Guess what? They got grace. Paul writes in Romans 6, you see, at just the right time, when we, all of us, everybody, are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are powerless, we are ungodly, we are sinners, and yet we still have that grace right there in front of us. But how do we acknowledge that? How do we say, I got it, I got God's grace? Look at verse 8. For it is by grace you've been saved, and here's the answer, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it's a gift from God. You willingly receive the gift of grace through faith. You were not saved. You can't save yourself. You can't grace yourself, place grace upon yourself. God is perfect. And to be in His presence would require someone to be perfect. And no matter how hard we work, how many good deeds we do, we are still imperfect. No matter how much money we give, how many people we pray for, we're still imperfect. But because we have the faith, we are saved. And because we are saved, we have been the recipient of that grace. Salvation doesn't come from ourselves. It's clear we are saved by grace through faith. E. Stanley Jones said, "Grace is free, but once you take it, you're bound forever to the giver." Grace is free, but once you take it, you are bound forever to the giver. And praise the Lord, I am bound forever to the giver. That is one bound I want to be. So where do we go from here? Boy, we sure are lucky, aren't we? Nope. We're blessed. Now we've got some work to do. We proved that this weekend at the conference. We've got some work to do. This old world is not accepting of grace. It doesn't see the blessings that God provides. It sees the here and now. It sees the luck. It sees the chance. It sees the physical treasures that Rhonda talked about. It's missing the treasure box. The last verse, "For we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus." That means not born physically. That is a rebirth. That is that relationship by saying, "I love you, Jesus. Come into my life. Thank you for saving me, and I will live to praise you till the day I die, until I can see you again in glory." That is the created in Christ Jesus I'm talking about. Two births. Our physical birth, and God created us in the womb. In our rebirth, when we willingly believe, and we have that grace placed upon us. We become aware, in tune. We really see that we do have that light of Christ in us. We actually acknowledge its presence, and we brighten it so that we can share it with others. It's a life change. The second point of that last verse is we are created to do good works. It doesn't say we are saved by good works. It says we are created to do good works. And that's an important distinction to make. Because in receiving God's grace, we're recreated in the Spirit to love one another, worship the provider of that everlasting grace, and guess what? Go out and do the same that God did for us. Love and bless. If we receive the grace and we're created in the image of God and we're saved through faith and we're recreated in Christ Jesus in that rebirth and that saving, shouldn't we want to extend it to others? You can do that by simply praying for somebody you don't even know. Lord, I pray for that stranger today that doesn't know you. Amen. Lord, I thank you for what you've given me. Amen. Just say Jesus. Good luck doesn't cut it. Grace cuts it. Grace is there. Let's do good works in the name of Jesus. I saw a quote that said, "Luck is a word people use when they have no other plan." And how sad. Luck is a word people use when they have no other plan, but praise God we have a plan. Our plan is in Him. We have a boss, we have a designer, we have a creator, we have a Lord, we have a Father who loves us. And luck has nothing to do with it. Saved by grace. God's powerful grace. Someone comes to you and they say, "I've got to have this procedure. I'm about to go through this issue in my life, or I'm about to have this struggle or this trial." Don't say good luck. Say, "Let's pray right now. Let me hold your hand. Let me pray for you. You're not comfortable with that? Can I pray for you tomorrow?" Can I pray for you at 1 o'clock? Can I take your name to my prayer closet and I can write it down and I can say, as I place my hand over it, Lord, protect this person, you know that need. That's grace. That's grace working in us. Put it to work. Shake a hand. Shout it from the rooftops that you have God's grace. Share it. Write it out. Hug it out. Shake a hand. Kiss a baby. Pray for someone. Lift a hurting soul. Pray for those you know don't have it. Because I know if I asked you, you could think of at least one person in your life that you know has not accepted that grace. As we go into our moment of silence and our open worship, as the Holy Spirit is filled in this place, and that as they touch each heart here today, think about that person. Think about maybe it's you. Maybe that you have forgotten that you have that grace and you have that blessing. Think about that person. And know that because you are saved by grace through faith, you've got it. Luck is where non-believers' faith lies. Do you feel lucky or do you feel blessed?
Thank you, Tommy. Please turn your hymns to 439.
2 Corinthians, it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." If you can help with the senior meal this week, please see Sam. Thank you.